5, and we're going to just come back and look at what I think is the secondary, not secondary as in not as important as the other one, but there's a second teaching here. And I want to also come back and try to explain what it doesn't mean. As with last week, there are some misreadings even of what is specifically said, and it sounds bad because we're saying, well, what Jesus is saying is not really what he's saying. And so I want to show you why I might think that this is not a complete teaching, but rather answering a specific topic or addressing a specific issue. And so then we do have some questions at the end there. We'll take some time to look at those tonight. But the first part of it this morning was about non-retaliation. And as we read through this again, the second part is generosity. And as we're going to read through this again, and I want you to notice the increasing amount of generosity that is required as he gives his illustrations. Let's read Matthew 5, verse 38. You've heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. So I have four things here that I want to bring out, and the last one here is as far as the emphasis on the generosity. But let's try to explain a little bit of some of the misunderstandings, the misreadings of them, like we had looked at a little bit last week. So if you're using your notes, you can see them there. You have to notice here that the instances of evil done are personal offenses rather than what you could say I have written here, national or corporate. So this is one of the reasons why we can safely take away that Jesus is not condemning self-defense. If I walk around the corner and I see, you know, someone beating the snot out of somebody else, I'm not supposed to say, well, I should leave that alone. That's evil. I shouldn't resist that. Because he's not offending me. And again, remember we're talking about the fact that this was not beating on someone. It was an insult. It was a slap in the face. But when Jesus is talking about it, he's talking about it being done towards me. And so it is not wrong for me. As I said this morning, there are many people who would forbid having an army. There are people who would forbid having a police. And if you follow that, then really there should be no court system. There should be no law enforcement. There should be no army. We should pretty much just, you know, live and let people do what they want to do. And in a perfect world, we wouldn't need an army. Because what's an army supposed to do? Defend. Well, if there's no bad in the world, you don't need to defend. And if there's a perfect world, we don't need a police. Because what do police do? They enforce the laws. And in a perfect world, we're going to do that anyway. And nobody's going to break the law. And there's no need for them. In a perfect world, there's no need for courts because we all just get along and nobody sues each other and nobody's needing to be judged and condemned, but we don't live in a perfect world. And so we see that that these things are not forbidden by Jesus. In fact, later on, I think it's Romans, we read that they're established, these powers are ordained by God. So God's not going to establish something that he's totally against. Jesus is not contradicting his word. Let me show you two places here that we can find that this is not teaching against self-defense. So if you want to look to Luke 12, and I believe that both of these are instances that have to do with Jesus himself. And so we want to see that Jesus' actions and his words do not contradict each other. And since they don't, what he said in Matthew 5 does not necessarily encompass every bit of truth that means about this. So look at what verse number 12:11 says. And when they bring you unto the synagogues, this is Jesus speaking here, when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Now there's two things here. He's saying, you're going to be brought to court. Don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you what to say. But there, if I'm going to resist, if I'm not to resist evil, I'm supposed to just be quiet, but the Holy Ghost is going to tell me what I'm supposed to say there. So there is a cause, there is a right way and time to personally defend yourself. And think about all the other things that we've been talking about, all the way back to the very beginning with anger. If we take it literally and we isolate this one passage, it says that don't ever be angry or you're in danger of the judgment. Well, we see other passages that say differently. We see in the other ones here, as we looked at last week. Well, there are other passages that promote it and teach us the good parts of that. And this is kind of like that as well. So these are personal offenses. These are things that happen to me. I can decide to forgive what you did to me. Now, if someone does something to Dennis, I don't get to forgive them for that because they didn't offend me. They offended him. And so if I see someone doing something, I can defend him. I can stand up for him because I'm not in it for me. And this is kind of goes into what number two is. So let me get into number two and maybe make a little bit more sense of both of them. Jesus is not teaching that I shouldn't seek justice because there are times there's a time and a place for court. There's a time and a place for punishment. The eye for an eye is just as much a part of the Bible as every other part of the Bible is. But there is a time and a place, but what Jesus is saying is that we don't have to seek that. We don't have to seek vengeance. We can forgive. But there is a place and a time for justice. Jesus is teaching us not to be concerned with balancing the scales back in my favor or back in my benefit. Again, if someone does something to one of you, I can't forgive you because the scales were never... I can't forgive that person for what they did to you because the scales were never tipped in my way for me, so I'm not there to forgive. That's for you to do. But I can seek justice for you. I can try to help or resist that type of evil. And so if it's for justice's sake, yes, that's a good idea. That's the right time to do it. But if it's for my own sake, then that's where Jesus is saying, no, that's not what you need to do. This is where we can be justified in defending other people by resisting evil. As long as I'm defending other people, or defending justice itself, then it is right. Let me take you to John 18. Let me show you. I didn't read Luke 22. That's okay because it's kind of the same thing. He says, well, as I'm passing by it, I'll read Luke 22 just because I think it had some bearing on what I wanted to say. Luke 22:36. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Okay, so now there's a particular instance that he's talking about here, but Jesus is definitely advocating here to buy a weapon. If you're never supposed to be resisting evil, why do you need a weapon? But anyways, I've already kind of touched on that. John 18, this is Jesus standing before the priest, and he answers the high priest in a way that the high priest doesn't like. And I want you to notice, and Jesus is slapped on the cheek here. And remember, when Jesus says, if someone slaps you on the cheek, what did he say in Matthew 5? He said, turn the other cheek. Well, look at what Jesus actually does when he's slapped on the cheek. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I speak openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. And they didn't like that. Because it says, when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? So the officer felt like, you disrespected the high priest here. Now what Jesus said is definitely not disrespectful, but notice what Jesus does. It does not say he turned the other cheek. What did he do? Jesus answered, verse 23, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? So this is definitely not Jesus turning the other cheek, but Jesus really is defending what he said to the officer. So I think there's a strong case to say that Jesus is somewhat resisting what's going on, but what is Jesus trying to, what is Jesus doing there, and how is it different than what he taught in Matthew chapter 5? Well, if you understand what's going on here, is that Jesus was pointing out the fact that he had been unjustly accused, and he's being slapped, he's being assaulted here for no reason. That's why he says there in verse number 23, if I spoke evil, bear witness of the evil. But if why'd you hit me? There's no reason for you to hit me. I said the truth. Did I say something wrong? Or did I speak truth? If I said something wrong, tell me what I said wrong. But if I said something evil, or if I said something good, if I did nothing wrong, why are you hitting me? And he's pointing out the fact that injustice had been done. Not so that the guy won't slap him, but to point out the fact that was uncalled for. That was unjust. Ryan Tannehill, but he plays football. His name is R. Tannehill, and I didn't write down his first name, but I don't think he's this smart. A willingness to forego one's personal rights and to allow oneself to be insulted and imposed upon is not incompatible with a firm stand for matters of principle and for the rights of others. So what he's saying there is the willingness to give up your rights, the willingness to say, you know what, all right, I'll turn the other cheek, I'm not going to fight this, does not mean that you never stand up for what's right. It doesn't mean that you don't defend other people or just simply defend the truth. Because that's what Jesus does both. Jesus taught, hey, turn the other cheek. And on Calvary's cross, he did that. He basically, you know, while they're mocking him and jeering him, he could have come down from the cross. He said, well, if you're the Son of God, you know, come down and the thief said, hey, save us with you. And he didn't. He prayed for forgiveness. But at the same time, in this instance, when he was being unjustly assaulted, he said, well, if I said something wrong, tell me. But if I didn't, then you shouldn't have hit me right now. Very, very similar to, remember when in Acts, when Paul was arrested by the, I can't remember what city he was in all of a sudden, but he was arrested and they put him in the dungeon. Oh, it was in Philippi because he was with the Philippian jailer. And remember that night, the earthquake and all that stuff, and the Philippian jailer gets saved and he gets his house, or his whole house gets preached to. At the end, they get brought back to the prison. Well, in the morning, they realized, we imprisoned, two men that had no business being in prison. We broke some rules here, specifically because they were Romans, or Paul was, and he wasn't supposed to be treated that way. And so they said, well, just let them out of prison. And Paul said, no, they put us in prison, unjustly. Let them come down and release us themselves. Paul's not standing up for his rights there saying, hey, you treated me poorly, I'm going to treat you poorly. I'm going to rub this in your face. He was saying, you broke the law. And I am pointing that out. You did something that was contrary to what is just. And so you're going to have to make this right. And so Paul was not, you know, we could say, well, Paul was resisting evil. He was standing up. He didn't turn the other cheek. But he was defending justice. And so I think that there is a place and a time to be able to do both. And so if you kind of, in my thinking, it was easy for me to remember it. If it's for justice's sake, yes. But if it's for my sake, no, I can go without that. It's kind of like those of you who are parents, you know, you can say anything you want about me, but if you talk about my kids, another thing, you can mistreat me, but if you mistreat my children, that's a different story. It's because I can deal with it. I can handle it. But they can't, or they shouldn't have to. And so when it's done to someone else, I have a full obligation, if you will, to stand up and defend the people who need defending. But when it's for me, and if I can forgive, or if I can let that go, then I should. And that's what Jesus is teaching there all throughout what we looked at this morning, that giving up my rights, giving up my claim on my possessions, giving up my time, my plans, my pride, all those things. Because if in the moment that it happens, if we could kind of isolate, you know, freeze time, you know, get that magic remote control and press pause on life, and then step back and think, why do I want to seek justice here? Why do I want revenge? Is it so that I can make them pay? Or is it so that I can make right what has been wrong? And if I can honestly say that I am not trying to do this to better myself, I am trying to right a wrong, regardless if it was done to me or not, then I think it's okay to go ahead and pursue that. But if it's, I just simply want to get back at that person, I just simply want to make them pay and make them feel sorry for ever treating me that way, and make them think twice about ever doing it again, then that's when turn the other cheek needs to step into place. eye for an eye was not sinful. There was nothing wrong with that part of the law. It was part of the law, and they were supposed to follow that, but it wasn't necessarily something you had to do. If you're in a position where you can forgive it, I mean, we can get, because that's what we're talking about. Nowadays, when we talk about eye for an eye, we're talking about getting real picky with things. All right, you stole my pencil, I'm going to steal your pencil. You know, you broke one of my fenders, I'm gonna break your fender. You cracked my left tail light, I'm gonna crack your left tail light. You know, and trying to make sure that it's exactly the punishment. But if you can just say, you know what, forget it, let it go, then move on from there. I don't have to do these bad things back to you. And remember what Jesus called it, evil. Evil was done to me. Do I have to do this back to that person? Does that person have to get punished? Well, maybe, maybe not. I can move on from there. All right, let's look at number three. Jesus, and this kind of goes to the last part of the verse. Jesus is going back to the last part of Jesus' teaching here when he talks about give to him that asketh thee and refuse and turn not away him that would borrow. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the verse. There it is. My first question is, if I'm taking this literally, am I obligated to give to anybody who asks me? Because, okay, if you know that I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to follow the Bible, that means you could take advantage of me by coming to me and asking me for anything, and I'm bound to the scripture, I have to give it to you. Give me your car, Pastor. Well, I have to because Matthew 5:42 says I have to give to anyone who asks of me. All right, here you go. Here's the keys. Let me have this. Let me have that. And you could basically come and take away all of my possessions simply because I have to give to you. And it certainly can't be what Jesus asked. There are other passages throughout the scriptures that tell us about responsible giving. There are sometimes family members who are, okay, for instance, if someone's begging on the street, they're asking for money, and you can just kind of tell they want to go buy liquor or they want to go buy cigarettes, something like that. I don't care if your sign says you got kids or whatever. You can just kind of, maybe you're judging, maybe we're wrong for judging, but you just kind of know, I don't think that's what you're really going to go buy. Or maybe if you've helped a homeless person before, you don't know, you know, giving $100 to a homeless person may not be the best plan. Maybe buying them the food that they need or buying them the item of clothing that they need is a better way to help them. But just because someone asks you for something doesn't mean you're required to give that. Does that make sense? I mean, that's a little bit naive to think that, well, anytime anybody asks me anything, well, Matthew 5:42 says I got to give it. And anytime someone says, hey, let me borrow this, I got to. Because, you know, if my son says, hey, Dad, I want to borrow your truck. I don't have a truck. Hey, I want to buy your van. Well, he asked me, I guess I have to let him borrow it. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, if someone's constantly misappropriating the things that they use, and you know that so-and-so, every time he borrows something, he wrecks it, he breaks it, he brings it back worse than it was, and they say, well, let me borrow it. Well, Matthew 5:42 says I got to give to, you know, I got to lend to the person that asks to borrow it. Well, that's irresponsible. And so that's not what Jesus is teaching. He's not requiring irresponsible, reckless giving. I don't have to give simply because someone asks. Because there are so many other scriptural teachings on generosity that indicate that I'm to be generous to the ones who are in true need. Specifically, I think about when Paul talks about taking care of the widows. He says, take care of the widows who are widows indeed. There truly are widows. They really need someone. And he even said, if they have someone living in their home, if they have an adult son, let the adult son. If they have family still alive, let the family take care of them. You as a church, you take care of this person. And he was saying, you know, you don't have to give everything to everybody. You've got to practice discernment. You've got to practice some responsibility there. And so we take this whole entire doctrine of the scriptures and we form these principles that we can follow rather than this one verse that says, well, here we go. This is what I got to do. And can't you see how someone could take advantage of you for following this verse? Well, I got to give. Well, because here's my mind. Here's how my mind plays out. So here's Joe, and Joe comes to me and says, I want your van. Give me your van. Because Matthew 5:42 says, give me your van. So I have to give Joe my van. And I say, Joe, give me that van. Well, now Matthew 5:42 says he's got to give it back to me. And, you know, we could go back and forth with this all day long. It doesn't make any sense if we are incomplete in our understanding of that. So Jesus, as much as with much of Jesus' other teachings, this is not the complete teaching on giving, but what it is, what has been said is meant to express one aspect of giving, and that is the selflessness of giving. Because, as we understand it within the context of this paragraph, what's been going on? It's me. It's all about me. And that's what Jesus is teaching to resist. You slapped me. You insulted my pride. You sued me. You infringed on my rights. And then he gets all the way down and he says, now you're asking from me something. I don't want to give you that because it's mine. I don't care if it's I'm guarding the number of M&Ms and I'm not giving you any, or it's because I have $10,000 and I'm not willing to give you five, or it's because I don't want to give you a bit of anything that is mine because it's mine and I've got this death grip on all of my own possessions. And Jesus is teaching, hey, first of all, get rid of that. And then secondly, there is a time and a place when it's not right to give someone. There's a verse, I think it's coming in a couple of passages, and it's not specifically talking about money, but it talks about not throwing your pearls before swine. So there is a time to practice discretion, and we have to gather the whole teaching of that. But in this particular aspect, I think he's emphasizing the selflessness and the generous aspect of giving. Look at the last one, number four. Notice, and this is something that I mentioned at the beginning, the increasing emphasis on doing more than the minimum requirement. If you go back to the very beginning, the first thing he said was, if you're slapped, the minimum, he said, the minimum you could do is to just not retaliate. But what Jesus said was to do more by turning the other cheek. Okay, so there's the baseline that now is established, turning the other cheek. But then he says the next thing is if you are sued, the minimum would be to give your shirt because that's what you were sued for. But he says go above that and he says give them your coat as well. So now it's not just turning the other cheek and maybe being suffering again. Now it's giving them what they sued me for and something else. Then he says, the next one, he says, if someone compels you to go a mile, you have to go a mile. He says, go a second. Volunteer the second. Giving more time. Giving double the amount. Giving double the time and the effort. Submitting even doubly than you would have normally had to do. And I didn't get to take you there this morning just because of time. I want to go to Romans chapter 12, and I want to show you how Paul echoes this teaching in Romans chapter 12. I read some of them to you, but I want to show you both the non-retaliatory aspect and the generous aspect of it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Paul says, recompense to no man evil for evil. So this is the no retaliation. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So there it is. Right there, that living at peace, I think you talked about that quite a bit in Sunday school this morning, it's not always possible to live at peace. And read the Old Testament if you think that, you know, war is wrong, because God is, many times says, go and wipe them out. Go and kill them all. Who is the president that said, speak softly, carry a big stick? Was that Roosevelt? Lincoln? Teddy Roosevelt. Okay, yeah. Peace is made sometimes with the bigger gun or the bigger stick. You know, it's not always by just saying, well, okay, I'll let you do what you want to do. Sometimes you've got to punish the evil. You've got to wipe out the evil, and then there can be peace. Think about at the very end of time, when we're living in perfection and we're living in the heaven and the new earth, that only comes when there's a great war. Right at, you know, when Satan and God finally have that last final war, and then he is banished. But it doesn't come without war. And so that's what Paul is teaching here. If it's possible, though, live at peace. Because I think that the human tendency is not to look for peace. We default to war. You want to fight? Oh, good, because I was looking for one myself. But he's saying if it's possible, live at peace. I lost my place here. Let me go back. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. If you know your Bible verses there, you know the verse, I think it's, I'm getting James and Peter mixed up, but it says, neither give place to the devil. And when we read that, we understand that it's saying not to let it have any place. But now he's saying give place to wrath. Not the devil, but it's the same idea. Give place to wrath. Let it let it go, give it that area, but you know, you don't have to fight that, another person's wrath or this avenging here, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But then it turns to the generous aspect in verse number 20. Therefore, so the therefore is there because of what was just said, now I'm going to say this. So instead of avenging yourselves, instead of retaliating, do this. If your enemy, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If you're overcoming evil, you are resisting it. You're responding to it, at least. And he says the way to do it is with good. It's this generous aspect. As we, as you, if you're, you know, if you know what's coming up, if you're reading ahead and knowing the next part of the sermon that Jesus teaches is loving your enemies, not just loving your neighbors. And so he's teaching living at peace if you can, turning the other cheek if possible, and doing good and being generous in all of those particular opportunities that we get. Respond with generosity rather than revenge. This is not natural. This is not part of our instincts. Someone slaps you, you don't want to say, you know, you must be hurting right now. And you say, I want to make you hurt right now. Someone insults you, you don't want to say, you know what, you're probably having a really bad day. We want to think of something better to say back. Someone cuts you off in traffic, you're not thinking, you know what, have you ever had someone like really get on your tail when you're driving? No, Todd's like, I'm the guy always on their tail. I drive too fast. They can't get on my tail. When someone's on my tail, the first thing I'm thinking of, that jerk. But when I'm doing it, I have a really good reason for it. I never give them those same reasons. You know, if I'm doing it, I wasn't paying attention, or I'm trying to get somewhere, like I need to go to the hospital, like right now, you know, my kid's bleeding out or something, you know. I never think when someone's tailing me, you know, they might have to rush home because they got some, you know, emergency type news. They just have to get there. I think, man, that guy's a jerk. Why doesn't he just take his time and slow down? But when I'm the one doing it, of course I have a good reason. If you just hear me out, I've got a great reason. Because that's our natural tendency. I don't want to give you the benefit of the doubt. Just give me the benefit of the doubt. And Jesus is saying, okay, if someone insults you, someone slaps you, someone does these things, let it go. If you can, let it go. You know, and they're not saying if they keep, you know, you know, if they slap you and you turn the other cheek and they slap you again and then they start hitting you again, it's probably not time to keep turning the other cheek and being beat to a pulp. It might be time to defend yourself. It might be time to get out of there. Resist the evil as you can. And don't say, well, you know, that person, they beat me up and they took everything. You know, I'm not supposed to resist the evil, so I'm not calling the cops. Well, it might be a good time to do that. Because there's another side of this thing called justice that we as Christians have to understand. This crowd right here, I don't think that this is the kind of crowd that we lean toward pacifism. We're like, well, you know, I'm just going to let people walk all over me. But I think that more Christians need to get the teaching that Jesus is teaching here in Matthew 5 because we're so ready. We're looking around. I remember when Riley was a baby, we had another couple in the church that had a son just maybe a year older than Riley, just not too much. And his dad taught him what every dad teaches his son. You know, you stand up for yourself. Don't let someone take advantage of you. But as all little kids do, they took only that one little piece of information, and they didn't take the rest of it. You know, as we would all teach our kids, you know, don't let someone beat you up. You know, do something about it. So what this kid would do, he would go and stand right beside Riley and just like get right in his space. And he would, you know, kind of needle him until Riley would hit him, so then he could hit him. And he would hit Riley. Well, he hit me. But it was the you provoked him to hit you, and he learned how to provoke without hitting so that he could hit. He was looking for a fight. He was looking to antagonize. And that's what I think most of us as Christians, we're walking around looking for, how can I? And when we walk around right on the edge and just, or a chip on their, have you ever met someone like that? They got a chip on their shoulder, it's just balanced there, and they're begging you to knock it off. just so that they can get into a fight. And I think more often than not, we need to move from that extreme than the other extreme where, hey, come on, you can't let people walk all over you, guy. You know, you got to stand up for justice, stand up for yourself. Let's look at these questions and just take some time with these. And if you have anything else you'd like to comment on or